Let's go. Cutty. Yes!
Love you guys, Duval County.
Recording in progress. Recording in progress. Tap. Fuck Tick Pick.
How about those Jaguars 1-0?
I figured out what the curse was.
America?
Taven Bryan was down for the game. What do we get?
A W.
First W.
I just thought it was because they had to go play in front of their real fan base.
They needed us to talk about pizza. Taven Bryan had to be a scratch. His backup had to get a, or his replacement had to break his hand in warmups, and they had to be in front of their real fans. W.
And Tua played like the greatest game of his career and still lost because he stinks.
He's bad.
Tua's garbage. He's so absolutely bad. Terrible.
He's bummy.
I've seen some Miami fans on the timeline this past week like defending him hardcore. Some of those, like, you know how you can tell when they're 18 years old by their Twitter profile? Some of those fans. It's like, ooh.
Icy Tua.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He is straight trash. Like, boom. Gardner Minshew is better than Tua.
Yeah. Booty juice.
Blake Bortles was way better than Tua.
He's probably still better than Tua.
Probably still is, yeah.
Bald Blake Bortles would throw fucking fits around Tua.
That game, I know we had a brief hiatus. That game
itself. Some might call it a bye week.
A bye week, but we took our own bye week as well.
As God intended.
As the good Lord intended. I'll say this. The game, it was fun to see Trevor getting better each week. To see a quarterback in a game where everything is there for the taking, come out and execute and make plays. The game was far from perfect. It was interesting watching Solly's son Tony run out there and kick those field goals. That guy was so tiny. He quite honestly was putting every ounce of everything that young man had in his body behind both of those kicks, and is much appreciated. It's nice knowing that we won't set the record for most consecutive losses in a row thanks to JB kicking those field goals. But aside from all, and there was a lot of good with that game. I mean, it was enjoyable, right? It felt awesome to win a game, to be able to bask in it for 2 weeks. But I gotta say, boys, it was the most Jaguar shit ever.
Yeah, it was.
Because I was at the previous 5 fucking games in person. Right? Traveled to Houston, Texas.
Ugh.
Houston, Texas,
go Astros. The state
of where we all thought, no matter what might happen this season, that might be the one roster in the league that was worse than ours, and proceeded to get boat raced. Came home, watched 3 mediocre games in a row, or 2 in a row, then went to Cincy, had a good time in Cincy, thought the way that game started, thought maybe things were changing. My luck was changing. Maybe I was going to get to see a beat them down in person instead of getting beat down in person. No, we didn't get that W. That's fine. Whatever. Come home, get absolutely embarrassed by our hated rival Titans and the skinny redneck white trash girl in her bikini, and just humiliated in our own house. Once again, lose to the fucking Titans.
This bitch took off all her clothes in the stands of an NFL game and was wearing a bikini.
A team branded bikini. Like, her belly stuck out further than her ass.
She looked like a jar of mayonnaise.
It was disgusting. But like, for the first win of the season, and who knows, maybe the only win of the season, these assholes win in London.
London.
different fucking country.
The one place continent. I will never watch a fucking Jaguars game, London.
Different fucking continent.
Have to use fucking WhatsApp to text your friends over there.
Like, I mean,
it's you don't just, even have blue bubbles over there.
No.
And I don't know what part of it frustrates me more, whether it's the fact that I actually watched the first five games of Trevor Lawrence's career in person and didn't see his first win, or the fact that none of us saw his first win because it was in fucking London, England. Like, I don't know what chaps my ass more, but it was, I just remember afterwards going out, we were up in New York visiting family and going out and slamming a bunch of cold ones the rest of the day and having fun with the fam. And it felt good, but just, it felt like this team can't fully let me feel good. You know what I mean? Like we're all just waiting for that win, wanting the win to come. And then in the back of my head, I'm just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. It couldn't be 2 weeks after I fucking stopped going to the games. It had to be the fucking first game that I was not in attendance for.
As soon as someone had said like midweek before that game, like, I can't wait for when we win. And everyone says, well, they still haven't won for 21 weeks in the United States when they lose after that. I was like, oh, shit, that's definitely going to happen. Like, as soon as he said that, I was like, man, like, that's just that's what being a Jaguars fan is all about. Like, if even if it's positive, you got to bask in the negativity because it's real.
They might make it 40 in a row in the United States.
Dude, what if?
I mean, I tell you what, I may just burn the shit down, like, at that point.
I'm going to buy an Iceman jersey.
I've already been so critical. Shout out to the Iceman. Best name and logo and town. I've been so critical already of the viability shit, the London shit. Fuck you, Dilla. I hadn't even thought about it that way. I thought about it as like, everything is done. The curse is lifted. Like, we're free.
Nope.
Oh my goodness.
London is its own curse. It's a curse in itself.
It really is, man. It really is. And I just watching that game, it's hard. I can't look in the stands and I can't pay attention to the crowd because it's so frustrating to me.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating just watching like my team, our team play in front of a stadium full of folks that are in like Jason Taylor Dolphin jerseys, Kurt Warner Rams jerseys. Like, I mean,
how about there was a guy that was wearing a Jags hoodie with a Texans hat? Did you guys see that one?
I saw that. Yeah, that was brutal. You pointed it out. That's why I saw it.
Oh my God. Yeah. So.
So with that, we're going to talk about pizza, right?
Guys, well, this is a pizza podcast. I thought
you know who the London people will never get to enjoy the services of, though.
Who's Boz? That
Boz. Our guy Boz. You know what, if you're in London right now, don't call Boz at 904-887-0763. Because he will hang up on your ass. Bye. If you DM him at Jax Boz on Twitter and ask him for like a champagne on ice in a nice luxurious vehicle to take your wife out to a fire dinner for your anniversary, but you live in London, he'll say no. Buzz. So, like I said, all you UK fans, don't call Boz.
Listen.
Executive transportation.
You can call Boz. I'm in an audible here. You can call Boz. You just got to come here. Come to Jacksonville. Actually, if you're coming to Jacksonville, flying international to get here, it makes a lot of sense to call Boz.
Be
the guy to pick you up at the airport. Right?
After you get off that 9-hour flight, that definitely doesn't cause a disadvantage for the players that have to take it. It might be nice to have a really on-time vehicle waiting for you with maybe a little beverage of your choice.
Little tea and crumpets.
Sitting there waiting for you. Yeah, maybe you have a little blood sausage in the back seat there with you.
Oh my goodness. My man just said blood sausage in the back seat. We're getting a whole different rating on YouTube.
You could get a blood sausage in the back seat in the back of a Boz vehicle.
Boz.
No, but for real, I haven't had pizza since we had our pizza talk. Is that weird?
That's really
weird.
It's the longest time I think I've ever gone in my life without having pizza.
I went to Carmine's right after that.
I've probably had pizza 6 times since that episode.
Yeah,
I've had pizza a lot too. Sally,
Normally I have pizza like every Friday.
Sally only gets the Detroit pizza from Pizza Hut now.
You order from Pizza Hut?
I only get the half calzone, half pizza from Little Caesars now.
That shit slaps. You seen that thing, Cap?
Is it the Pizzone or whatever?
Yeah, or whatever. I don't know what it's called, but it's like folded in a couple spots and they like slice it and they're like, dude, it slaps. It's fire.
Oh my God. I would have the worst diarrhea.
We had a whole.
Messed me up, but it was fuego.
We had a whole podcast discussing pizza and this motherfucker just asked me if I order Pizza Hut for real. I slapped this motherfucker.
I hit you through the phone, Caputo.
For real, I gotta go hit up this Huey Magoo spot though on the chicken tender tip. And see what they're about.
It's decent. It's not bad.
You've had it?
Yeah, it's in Orlando.
Okay, so you had it down in Orlando?
Yeah. It's straight.
Okay.
Not like the best thing in the world, but it's good.
I mean, is it better than Zaxby's?
I put it pretty on par with Zaxby's, to be honest. I mean, it's better. It's like a more of a casual, less fast foodie.
More like artisan than Zaxby's.
It was very slightly, yes. very slightly.
Yeah, so that's I gotta go check that out and give that a proper review. We had a lot of feedback on the pizza episode, so thank you to everyone out there listening. I think it was well received. It was well timed. I mean,
everyone needed a break.
Yeah,
we needed a break. We had a bye week, and then we had our bye week, and then before that was basically all we talked about was pizza. So we almost had 3 weeks off from talking about the Jaguars.
I kind of feel like if we have any hope in winning this Sunday, maybe we should talk about pizza.
Yeah. I mean, we need to talk about where I need to go get pizza because clearly I need to go get pizza. Where should I go to break my like 1 month of not having pizza?
You should go to Da Vinci's.
I think I might have to.
All right. So here's the thing about Da Vinci's. And I don't think you've had it this way there. You've had Da Vinci's before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thin crust. Fucking fantastic.
Okay.
Because it's still got pretty much the same crust as the thicker pie. It's just thinner on the rest of the slice. And you can eat twice as much. Mm-hmm. It's like I can house no problem a whole medium by myself, like comfortably, and not be like, wow, I just did that. I could definitely house an entire large by myself and probably be a little uncomfortable, but like it's because it's so light, it's so thin. It is, it's fantastic. So I highly recommend it.
A quality pizza dough does allow you to ingest a little bit more pizza than
fully
bullshit ass pizza dough.
Yeah.
I found that out in Rome. I was like, wow, I could eat tons of this shit.
So the Roman style is yeah, totally different. That shit's like super light and airy. Yeah. That is, I want to fuck around with, so I got the new oven, right? I mean, I think most of the people on that listen to this probably follow me on Twitter in some capacity.
No, most of them hate you. If you look at the reviews.
Probably. Do they really say they hate me in the reviews? I don't read the reviews. If they do, whatever. I mean, you're still listening, so thank you. A hate click is still a click. That's what my man Alfie always used to say.
Shout out Alfie.
Shout out Alfie. No, so I got the new pizza oven and I broke it in over the weekend, made a few different types of dough and whatnot, but I'm amped because we were talking about on the pizza episode how we're all kind of fans of the Detroit style, like legit Detroit style. And so
like from Pizza Hut, legit.
Yeah, so legit, too legit. So I ordered like an official from like a place up in Detroit, like an official Detroit season pan to make the pizza. So I'm,
oh shit,
I got a couple of recipes for dough that I'm gonna fuck around with.
And, let's go.
You fuck around, make dough.
So I told my brother, and because he's had an uni oven for like 4 or 5 years, and I was like, yeah, so I want to mess around with doing some grandma style or some Detroit style. And he was like, yeah, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it's really hard to cook them in the oven with the pan. He said, it's just like to keep the temperature consistent, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, I hate you right now. Yeah. Like, you can't even let me have this.
I already fucking bought it, asshole.
Yeah. I'm going to make some of the worst Detroit style pizza. You just watch. I don't care. I'm going to make it.
I'm going to eat it. God damn it.
Yeah.
Let me just watch.
Oh, the first two that I made on Sunday were not good. Were not good. The dough that I was using was not good, and I didn't have the oven dialed in yet.
You have some pizza soup?
No, it's just not to get like too technical, because it's not even like I'm qualified to get technical at all. But when you're cooking with wood, especially. Like it gets very, very hot once the coals and once, you know, when the fire is blaring, it gets hot.
Yeah. When you first put it in
through the dome of the pizza or of the oven, right. The fire is just, it's raging. And once you get the fire going, well, it takes a while for the pizza stone on the bottom to heat up. Right. And that's what cooks the pizza really, you know, on the bottom, the dough and up and through the pizza. You know, it's going to cook fast because you're cooking at such a high temperature. So the cheese is going to cook fast. You know, the outer part of the toppings, all of that is going to cook really fast. So you have to have the temperature dialed in to where the stone is hot enough that it's cooking as well. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you burn the fuck out of the top and then the dough never really cooks underneath all the way through. So, yeah, first couple were more like that. I took them off and it looked like they were done on top. And then I'm like, even on the bottom, I'm like, they might be done. Then I cut into them. I'm like, yeah, that's still a little doughy. But anyway, so it's fun. I enjoy it. You know, if we win or if we lose too many more in a row, maybe we'll just do a whole podcast with me making pizzas live. All three of us.
Let's do a live.
We'll just go live on Instagram or on something. just making pies, just straight streaming.
As long as I get to show up and eat them, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, Instagram pies instead of Instagram live.
Well, and it's hard too when you're doing it, because like you got to really keep an eye on the fire and keep wood on it and keep the temperature up but not too high. So it's like you really got to fuck with the fire. But then you also got to be inside prepping the pizza, like the next one you're going to throw in. And so if you got two people, just saying, Solly, you want to come over. You got two people, it's a lot easier. Boom. All right. There's your there is your regularly scheduled pizza talk here on the Bold Pizza Show.
Thus guaranteeing a Jags victory this weekend.
That's right. That's right. We're just taking it home. You know why we're taking it home this week?
Why?
Because
they have Geno Smith at quarterback.
We've got an offensive weapon.
Yeah, buddy.
An we do. Offensive weapon. His name is J-A-M-A-L, Jamal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that, Dilla?
Why is that guy good at being a receiver?
I think he's a stud, and I think actually him being a cornerback in the past has something to do with his success as a receiver. I think like we've seen a lot of his successes come against zone coverage. He knows where to sit in the zone and break his route. And obviously he's been throwing the ball with Trevor. It's not like it's the first time they've ever done anything. And their timing looks like it's incredible. Really cool to see. And I think, too, he runs with so much power in his lower body when he gets the ball that when he catches the ball behind the line of scrimmage, he can kind of bang around a little bit, too, even for a little guy. So I don't know. I think he's an offensive weapon, like Cap was saying, you know, making the Denard Robinson joke is super accurate, because I think we should really be forcing him the ball too. Not in the same sense of what we should be forcing to James Robinson per se, but you got to get that guy involved. He's a playmaker.
So I have this weird reservation about going all in on him. And here's why. I feel like we're just so starved for good players and fun players that the moment that somebody shows that they might potentially be that, like, we want to just crown them, you know, or if we're like, yeah, this guy's legit. I mean, you know, we kind of did it with Chark. Like, Chark never put up like insane numbers, but, you know, talk to most Jaguar fans and they would defend that guy till their death. Like, what in reality is, on most teams, he's the number two at best.
Basically had like one like good season, pretty much.
Yeah. Like, but that's why I think it's important to like emphasize what you called him, an offensive weapon. Like, he's not your number one receiver. He's not your big play guy, but he's someone that you're scheming the ball to, because in the right situation with the ball in his hand, he can take the top off. And I think that's where, like, you're looking to give him the ball. I don't think, you know, if DeAndre Hopkins is playing right now, they're going to throw him the ball 14 times regardless going into the game. That, I'm not saying that they should do that. And I agree, we do crown anyone who has one successful game on offense, because it's just starved. But, I feel like he's a good player. He's fast, and he can bang a little bit, like I said. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be giving him the ball when – the other players that are built like him that are playing are Tavon Austin. You know what I mean? So it's not like we're preventing someone else from playing that maybe shouldn't be. Laquan Treadwell. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, fully. I think it's just, it's a hell of an interesting story. And I hope that it doesn't get beat to death. I hope that he is given some time to perfect playing that position even more. Just some of the things, like when Mia O'Brien came out with that video, I don't know if you saw it, but basically him talking about how in Detroit leading up the last year, he was like teaching himself how to play wide receiver by watching YouTube, because there were no workouts, there were no anything. And so to see that, and just to your point, Dilla, and some of the points that have been made locally, even Nate Burleson was on this morning with Dempsey and he was talking about him, and it's just, there's a lot of natural ability to him that just makes you say, man, could there really be something here? Like that toe tap in the Cincy game,
that shit, dog.
You can't teach it.
No.
You know, he obviously has the raw ability. Is speed and strength, like you said, plays hard. Denny Thompson was saying that Agnew was in their facility a lot leading up to the season, and he said he may have the best hands on the team.
Wow.
So I'm just sitting here, like, I keep hearing all this stuff, and I'm like,
why didn't this dude play receiver earlier?
I hope like hell this guy keeps getting better. When you think about it, he's shown to be pretty good, and he has like next to zero experience.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, for me, that's, you know, going forward, it's little storylines like that. It's really watching Trevor and trying to enjoy watching Trevor get better for the rest of the season and to watch him grow, and then watch hopefully a handful of other guys develop that are going to be here for the next few years. And so it's intriguing to me, because if you would ask any of us 5 weeks ago, if you would put Jamal Agnew in as a guy who's under contract for the next few years, who you think might be a contributor of any significance to this team, you probably would have said, fuck no. Like,
dude, a month ago, people were like, why do we pay this guy $3 million?
I was roasting him on the timeline. Like, we really paid this guy $3 million to like wave fair catch.
Yep. I think in the game when he ran that one back, like the one prior to that, Dilla was like, oh, here we go. Here comes Mr. Fair Catch.
Yeah, dude. It's crazy. And two, I think, like, oh my bad.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, good. That's really good. I think I agree with what you said.
Yeah, one of us has to, anyway.
Absolutely. No, so it's fun. You know, and then on the other hand, you've got him, who's a pleasant surprise. And then I think LaVisca has been pretty disappointing.
Well, he stinks. Right now, he's a terrible football player. Best thing he ever did was catch the ball falling forward and get touchdown.
Or you mean the field goal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually tight as hell. I just want to say that Solly's my witness. I was like, just run a quick play. Just snap the ball and get down there and kick a field goal. And then they did it. And I was like, oh, shit, this is cool.
This is like, this is the best coaching moment they've had the entire year.
By far, yeah. Well, you know what's – you know what was good about that is had it been a play on the goal line, you know Bevel would have fucked it up.
Yeah.
Like, he would have fucked it up. But he was so far from the goal line there.
He was comfortable.
He was in his comfort zone. He could make some good calls. So yeah, you know, I was thinking immediately when they did it, I'm like, oh shit. Cause I think I thought too initially, I was like, oh, they're gonna come out and throw the Hail Mary. Here we go. What bad could happen here? And they ran that. Then I immediately started doing the math in my head. I'm like, oh, is this tiny little fucker gonna hit two deep kicks? Like, cause that first one he hit was like, woo.
I was a little bit worried about the kick six, but they didn't have.
Dude, that one was crazy. When he first hit that one, I was like, of course. And that thing hooked right back in. That was nuts.
Well, you know what it was? He put a lot of English on it.
I was sure Bend It Like Beckham was coming through. But man, that was good.
He put a lot of English on it. Oh, my goodness.
That was terrible.
He missed that by 5 yards if it was in Jacksonville, let me tell you. Yeah, so.
Hey, the second one was right down the pipe, though.
No, I know. But, I, in my head, I'm thinking, well, I mean, worst comes to worst, we go to overtime here, right? Oh,
in my head, I was like, at least we get to go to overtime. So,
yep. So, it was I think it was really, on the offensive side of the ball, it was encouraging. Trevor continues to make 3 or 4 plays a game that you're like, okay, this is as advertised. And then for me, in the last couple of weeks where you've seen a ton of growth is him changing protections, him audibling, right? Like him doing things at the line of scrimmage. And again, Denny was talking about it the other day. Denny Thompson, friend of the program. And he was like, look, usually I'm watching tape of him and usually like what he's doing right now at the line of scrimmage is usually like a year two or a year three thing.
Yeah.
And he's doing it in game six.
He's seeing it. He's seeing it and learning fast.
Which is, you know, if that doesn't give you an erection or a lady boner, depending on who you are.
Just look at how successful, and we've touched on it a couple times, look at how successful Trevor Lawrence was at Clemson and DJU has been at Clemson just in 1 year. And as prospects, they're evens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy to see.
The splits between weeks 1 through 3, have you guys seen that? Like the splits between weeks 1 through 3 versus 4 through 6 for Trevor is like – literally, insanity. Basically, he started taking checkdowns and taking what the defense gives him, and all of a sudden, it's like, zoop!
And he hasn't even put together a complete game yet, and he still looks crazy.
Yeah.
Yep, that's true. He definitely has, and he hasn't had, like, that wow game yet by any means.
In the middle of the third quarter, though, he was in rhythm like we never seen before.
Yeah, that was something.
And I think he got strip sacked.
That drive where he got strip sacked, he was, like, in the zone.
Yeah, that shit was crazy. He was coming up, checking coverages, like moving people around. I was like, oh man, this is crazy.
This guy's clicking. Yeah.
This is what it's like.
Yeah, we were like poking, we were like pinching each other on the elbow. Like, hey, yeah.
I want to speak right to that one goofy dude who on Twitter wanted to argue with me incessantly when I was tweeting about how the Clemson offense was doo-doo, how their plans to develop quarterbacks were just terrible, and how if my son was a five-star all-world recruit. I would never send him to Clemson. And
which he is.
What's that?
I said, which he is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Probably all 5'10 of them. again, Wes Welker out here.
Kyler Murray out here.
Yeah, Kyler Murray. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, to see Trent Dilfer talk about that and as passionately as he did.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And I don't consider myself to be somebody who's like some football expert by any means, but like I can watch.
Yeah, that's Solly's role.
Yeah, that's Solly's role, clearly. Yeah. I can watch and I can say, wow, this program clearly is not tailoring their scheme or their play calling to the player or the players that they have, right? Like, and that was last year as we watched Trevor and all those games, I'm just saying to myself, like, these guys are doing nothing to prepare this dude for the NFL. Like, yeah. This offense that they run, they're running an offense that I would run if I had Jordan Travis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe Emory Jones. Like, what are you doing? Like, he should have been Andrew Luck in that type of offense where he was already checking plays at the line of scrimmage, where he was already setting protections and shit in college. He was capable. Why not? I mean, like, it's so frustrating. And then to see, I saw DJ Ukulele in person when we were up there in Syracuse for that Friday night game.
Yeah.
He is so terrible. He's terrible.
He's bad, dude.
Like, seriously, he is very bad. And I mean, it's scary, whatever they have going there. And so, look, I've been super critical of the coaching staff of Beryl and of Little Shoddy, but it's clear that if nothing else, they're giving him a good framework and they're giving him some good development and some good coaching. And now they're giving him the freedom, right? And encouraging him to put these things on his plate. And it's, as a Jaguar fan, you have to be super encouraged right now that he's not only playing well, but that he seemed like it doesn't seem too big for him at all. There hasn't been a single moment where I've watched and said, oh shoot, look at his body language. Oh, he just got hit again. Or he, you know, he almost threw a pick. Like, you're looking at him. No, it's, I don't know, man. He throws a pick
and comes back and looks the same.
I'm super hopeful. The last couple games have done that. I think it'll be another good test this weekend. I don't think Seattle's defense is anything near what they used to be.
Aren't they the worst in the league?
First of all, you know, Pete Carroll is traditionally like, I think they're going to bring the house on them. They're going to bring a bunch of Jamal Adams. They're going to, you know, they're going to bring guys from all levels.
Damn, Cap just said that fucking dude's throwing for 375 in Seattle this weekend. That's crazy.
I was going to say is crazy. That's a tough place to play. No matter how they're playing, that's a tough place to play. So if he goes up there.
Bro, not to keep cutting you off, but I searched their attendance. That shit's going to look like a Jacksonville home game. He'll be right at home.
Thank God for Halloween.
Okay. All right. Sure thing. Anyway, I'm trying to think of a game that he would have played in as the away team that'll be as loud as, you know, that maybe is as loud as that one, because the ACC pretty much sucks. So yeah, maybe
Doke was loud a couple of times for him, but then he waxed them, so it got quiet.
Terrible, yeah. So.
I mean, but it wasn't loud on the level of that place gets, man.
So the loudest he probably played in was in the national championship against LSU, because it was in New Orleans and it was like 80-20 stadium.
Yeah, and it was dome 80-20. Yeah. So I mean, how he responds, how he plays out there, and you know, how he sticks to game plan or overcomes any adversity and in that type of environment, I think would be, it's going to be really fun to watch.
Some of our media friends should ask him what the loudest stadium he's ever played in, if you guys are listening.
No, they're too busy asking him fucking if he wanted to play quarterback at Florida or Georgia.
If he wanted to play in the Florida Georgia game.
Yeah, like what?
Who asked that? Let me guess.
You'll get it on the first two tries. I mean,
yeah, there's two people it could be.
John Reed.
No.
Three people.
he's the other one.
Gene Fournette.
There you go.
He really asked him that.
Yeah. He's like, did a part of you wish you could have played in the Florida Georgia game?
Man, people in this town build that thing up to be something that is like,
yeah,
like it's like the fucking El Clasico or something.
Yeah. The tailgate is more epic than the game.
There ain't a person, there ain't a person outside of those two fan bases that really gives more than two shits about that game.
Bro, I didn't go to that game until I was like, moved back here like after 2015, and I just went just because I lived 3 miles from the stadium. I didn't go to it all growing up, never went in college, never.
Yeah, it's fun, it's don't get fun. Me wrong, I mean it's fun.
Yeah, it's a fun game to
I've
go
been
to.
A bunch of times. I'm glad it's here, like please, yeah. Don't get me wrong, like I'm glad it's here, it's dope, it's it is a cool thing. I also think that, you know, I've heard Frangie, who, you know, say whatever, I like Frank as a person. He's a good dude. He's a really good dude.
Mm-hmm.
But like to hear him wax poetic all week about how it's the best week out of the year. Well, that's part of the problem around here. We got a fucking NFL team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have a professional team. Like the University of Florida isn't even located in Jacksonville. So you're telling me it's the best week out of the year. Like that's a problem to me.
That's sad.
It should be one of the best weeks out of the year. It shouldn't be unequivocally like the best thing that ever happened to Jacksonville. And that's the way a lot of people try and spin it, I guess. I don't know. It's, yeah. So we're on to Seattle.
We're on to Seattle. We're sliding on to Seattle. Like we just got our sliders fixed, our sliding glass door or our window that was previously sounding like nails on a chalkboard is now sounding like,
you hear that?
Now sounded like it's been filed down. You know what I'm saying? Because we called A1 sliders, sliding glass door and window repair. And we got us a free estimate. They came out, looked at our shitty door. And
I said, that's a shitty door.
They were like, you know what? It's going to cost you about this and this to get you a nice door. So visit them at a1sliders.com. Give them a call, 386-538-6835 to get your door fixed.
Or a new one.
Or a new one.
Yeah.
As we've been through before, some of your materials are ass.
Well, it's tough out there right now, man. Like trying to get supplies and to get these materials and to get these different parts. That's one of the reasons why you want to go with a reputable, good company when you're trying to do something like that. So shout out to Tony and the crew, A1 Sliders. They're A1 in my book.
They're not B2, they're A1.
A1.
They're not B2 like Dillard, the birthday boy.
Yeah, so Eric.
Eric. What's up, Dad?
What's it feel like to almost be 30?
That's great. What's it feel like to have been friends with me since I was 21 and I'm 30?
I think I was friends with you before you were 21.
Yeah, it might have been. Isn't that crazy?
I'm pretty sure it was before you were 21.
It's wild, man. Fucking old. Yesterday I woke up, rolled out of bed, stood up, both my knees popped. I said, sheesh, you got 2 more days, Bubba. You got better chill.
I'll tell you one thing, it ain't gonna get no better. Enjoy what you got now.
I probably got like 6 years left. I ain't even stressing.
Out of here, dudes. You're out living everybody else on this podcast. We already know this. Your temper, you're like, it doesn't go any higher than this. Like,
yeah,
your
blood
pressure
stays. Yeah, because he ain't gonna have no kids.
Yep. You're like a bear in hibernation, bro. Like, you
fucking... That's true. My temperament's pretty chill. I'm always just chilling.
Your heart's just like, da-doom, da-doom, da-doom,
da-doom, da-doom, da-doom. I got to say, the most mad I've seen you in a long time was that last home game.
Bro, I was mad. That's probably the most mad I've been in 10 years.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was something. So... You listen to this tomorrow. We need you to go ahead and shoot the Dillicola a happy birthday message.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
This pod will be releasing on the Dillicola's 30th birthday, people.
That's right. That's right. Just give them a little happy B-Day Dilla hashtag, right? And feel free to hop in his DMs and send him some nudes. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. The nudes are
my man. My man only turns 30 once, you know. It doesn't have to be your nudes. Just send him some nudes.
Like, hit me up. I'll still look at him.
Talk about just trying to brighten my man's birthday. Just send him some nudes. So, yeah. Sorry, I'm going to miss the festivities tomorrow night.
It's all good. You got a World Series to go to. I'll let Maybe. It slide.
We'll see if I can get some tickets here. What else? Couple more things. Dilla, you've heard some whispers about... I love... Urban is so honky with some of this shit, man. It's like our phone's been ringing off the hook. Okay.
He says the weirdest shit, dude.
Also, he just says shit like no one, like, oh, you're not supposed to say that, bro.
Yeah,
shut the fuck up.
Our phone's been ringing off the hook. Urban, who the hell are they calling about, bro? Are they calling trying to get you to take their bad players? Or because I know they ain't calling about freaking, I don't know.
Yeah, who? They want Jamal Adams. You can't even come up with a fucking name.
I mean, honestly, who are Andrew Norwell?
They're like, wow, can you please trade us Jahad Ward, please? Please. No,
Andrew Norwell, Malcolm Brown, and that's it. They're like the only two players that we have that are tradable.
And it's like, why the hell would we trade them?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Damn sure I'm not trading either one of them. That's like two of the strengths of the team.
Yeah, and if you're involved in any way with Trevor Lawrence.
You can't, you're untradeable.
Nope. Yeah. And if you stop the run on defense, which gets Trevor Lawrence the ball back, nope. You don't get to go either.
Well, stop the run on defense, which is literally the only thing we can do right now on defense.
But honestly, hey, they might big brain it. If we can't stop the run, Trevor will get to play more.
Yeah, the only problem is defensive ends will have their ears pierced back on them with Jawan Taylor trying to stop him.
But yeah, no.
On the flip side, like if they're out there, I know you've heard some stuff about them kind of poking around a bit at some guys. What are you hearing?
Yeah, no, it seems like they would like to add a receiver. But they're also not going to overpay for a receiver. So when you hear,
of course not. It's got to be about value, baby. It's got to be about value.
It's Trent Baalke, baby. All about value.
But I think it's funny when you see a name like Brandon Cooks or hear a name like Brandon Cooks. One, he's producing on a team that's worse than us. Like, if you take away their game against us, their stats are terrible, like, as a whole. So he's producing there. So he's quick. He fits what we need, what we want, what they keep saying that we're supposed to have. And he's a good football player. Like, in the past, he's gotten a big contract before. But the other name that I think is more realistic, and I think it's kind of more exciting because if he – does become a useful player. It kind of fits the project better, and that's Denzel Mims in New York. So if they go with someone like that, who knows why he's not playing? Maybe he is terrible, but if you're going to throw a late-round pick for him, like, you can come be terrible on my team, bro. Like, yeah. I promise whoever we're going to draft for that pick is no better.
And plus, it wouldn't even be the first time we've done it this year.
Right.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, I mean, we've traded away enough players to amass – the world record for the most six round picks that any team's ever had. So
half of the picks in the sixth round.
We might as well flip one or two of them and take a flyer on some guys.
Hey, though, I will say all of our trades we've nailed. Malcolm Brown in, good. The tight end in, good. The cornerback we traded out, terrible. The cornerback we traded to Seattle, terrible. Like
Joe Schobert, terrible.
Josh Oliver.
Yeah, I think he caught a touchdown, but he's got like three fumbles too. So like,
terrible. Yeah, I mean, I still would have kept him just because of
me too. But it's not like he's an amazing football player. Right. He's it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think. Look, if they can't find a pass rush on defense, I'm not sure who else that's playing there matters much. I mean, we could have better cover corners for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that those are the three biggest weaknesses: the receiver, corner, pass rush, in no specific order.
Yeah.
I do. If Balky's around next year, he's a defensive end over corner guy, so that's kind of nice to know in terms of like how people are mocking stuff. Just something to think about.
It's been super disappointing watching Calvin Chase because thank you.
Correct.
You know, I think people were holding out some sort of hope that he'd at least turn into like a semi-productive player, but I mean, he's just, he's not even noticeable half the time.
He'd be more productive as a semi than being a productive semi player.
Truck drivers are getting paid top dollar right now. Just heads up.
Heartbeat of America, baby. Yeah.
Do you have your CDL license? Call 1-800 call drive.
We got America, a new ass.
It's
amazing we haven't picked up a pizza place.
My man it might be out here
begging way. For a pizza ad.
Yeah, he's been hella disappointing. It's it sort of is what it is. I mean, hope isn't on the way when it comes to that. I thought some of the comments were interesting. You know, like we probably got to stop trying to play so much man. Oh, okay, yeah, you think? I also know that Seattle loves to, like, Tyler Lockett scares the shit out of me in that game. That's like he almost scares me more than JB. Shout out to your shirtless roommate there. closing the door for you. Lockett scares me more than DK even to a degree, just because they do a really good job of scheming him to the point to where like in bunch formations and stuff where you can't get your hands on him. And then he'll run those crossers where nobody can keep up with him if you're in any kind of man. So that scares me. Cause I have these visions of every other player that's just running wide open in the middle of the field against us.
The type of player that's always
really sick. It'd be really sick if we didn't repeatedly take one of our safeties and put them all the way like in the other team's locker room on defense.
Why do we do that? That shit's so stupid.
Dude, it's
I'm often that shit too.
It's like they think they have Ed Reed back there, bro, or Sean Taylor. I'm just like, I'm watching it. I'm like, are we watching the same guy who's lined up in that position? It looks so goofy. Yeah. I hope Andre, I know Urban said something about, we'd like to get him in there for some more reps. It's like, what have you been doing?
Yeah, that ain't happening. They should have done that 6 weeks ago.
I don't know. Did you see people got like super mad at me when I tweeted like he must be the worst draft pick ever? Like, I mean, they're like, bro, what are you talking about? He hasn't even played yet. Like, see, you guys are so, you BCB guys are so negative. You're just so negative. And I'm like,
but people they don't understand a joke. God damn, laugh, you fucking weirdos.
Yeah, and if you know what, if you don't know me well enough to where you're missing that joke a bunch, don't comment. Just keep it moving, bro. Like, don't some of you nerds out there on the internet want to argue with people that you don't even follow, that like you just
arguing with somebody you don't follow is literally like the dumbest thing that I see every day.
That you don't know.
You don't know anything about them. You don't follow them.
That has never tweeted you and that you've never tweeted, but they want to argue with you. It's like, what? Huh? It baffles me. It's like, of
course, makes me want to put my account on lock.
Sometimes I turn around and I say to the person, like, well, man, you didn't get the joke, obviously. Like, I was being facetious. Well, how am I supposed to know that? Well, maybe just don't comment on somebody you don't follow and you don't fucking know, and maybe you would know. Like,
it's okay not to respond too.
Yeah. I do. You know how many times I see some stupid shit on my timeline that I just go like this? I go,
whoop. All the time.
Every time Solly tweets.
Damn.
That's hateful.
I was only joking around because he has notifications on for when we tweet.
I'm going to put my account on lock and then block you.
You should. Save me from having to see those tweets.
You want
to
talk to me? Text me, bitch.
I'll fucking FaceTime you, pretty boy.
Hop in my Instagram DMs.
Oh my goodness.
DK Metcalf was added to the injury report today, fellas.
Oh yeah.
I think that's a good sign, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't know any other information other than did not participate. Foot.
Oh wow, really? Didn't participate?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. We're taking that dub home on Halloween.
Sheesh. Write it down. It's over.
It would be so Jaguars. Love you, JB. It would be so Jaguars. Oh, I'm down for that. Hold on one second. It would be so Jaguars if they won the first game of the season in London and then the second game of the season on Halloween. On Halloween, they dressed up like a competent football team. Like, it would be so Jaguars.
No, that's what we call humor volume one. That's fine.
Boom. Boom. Anything else? What else we got, Solly?
I do have an announcement about one of our sponsors. The Perfect Rack is going through their kitchen upgrade. Mm-hmm. And they hit a little snafu with some of the stuff they were trying to get in. So they are not going to be open this weekend for the game. So please do not show up the Perfect Rack this weekend. They are closed. They are planning on being open the following weekend, but they're going to have kind of a limited menu. They're only going to have really fryers, but they will have plenty of drinks. So you can go get fucked up. But they're not going to be open this weekend for the Seattle game. They'll be back open for the Buffalo game next week. And then I think they're going to shut down sometime in like mid-December for a little bit when they get like all their stuff that they're anticipating so they can go for their full reopen and bigger capacity and all that. Yeah.
Sweet. I may just go watch the Buffalo game there, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's not gonna be when we want to be at.
Yeah.
That's not gonna be a fun one. The Bills fans are already like,
I might sell my ticket if I can flip it for like 300.
Yeah. And then
the first game I missed since Vietnam.
As soon as we do that, that's when we upset the Bills in our
fine
because we're
and
not
I'll be there. And I'll be happy as shit still either way, and $300 richer.
I'm telling you, bro, 99% of the time when there's a bunch of away fans in the stadium, we've been through this on here on the timeline in person. 99% of the time, it's just people who live here or around here.
Oh, yeah.
But I know for a fact there's a pretty a good contingent of Bills fans that are coming down from Buffalo for this game. So you add that to the rabid douchebag transplants that live down this way already that are just dying to go see their team who's actually good for the first time in most of their lives. And, yeah, it's going to be ugly there. It's going to be ugly. But I will say, I turned on the Thursday night football game tonight, and I hear Troy Aikman talking. Is it Aikman on Thursday night? I think it was Aikman. Yeah, and they're talking about the split in the crowd in Arizona and how they're like, I think it's 50-50 in here, you know, Packers fans, blah, blah, blah. So here's a team in Arizona who's the only undefeated team, has a badass quarterback, has a really fun team to watch, and – so where the hell is all the talk, all the shade about them? You know what I mean? Like,
because no one cares about the Arizona Cardinals.
Isn't it the Phoenix Cardinals though?
Oscar Urban Meyer sure is.
I thought it was the Phoenix Cardinals.
My man had been studying the NFL for a long time, Sally.
That's what he said. He said, and what Log said, we're playing the Tennessee Titans. Well, yeah, the Phoenix Cardinals got some really good defensive linemen. What the fuck are you talking about, bro?
Does he say the Nashville Titans too, or the Minneapolis Vikings? I'm gonna start doing that. All cities.
I love it.
San Francisco Warriors.
What are you gonna call the Giants?
The Meadowlands Giants.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Hoboken Giants. The Jersey City Giants, baby. Hell yeah.
The Trenton Jets.
But I will say, if you guys want to avoid the Middleburg Bills fans, Perfect Rack is going to be open. They're going to have fried food, and they're going to have lots of beers, lots of alcohols, and the free shots for the touchdowns. So,
will my man Hacker be there post game?
That seems like it must be the plan. Yeah,
Hacker, yeah, I'll be there too. Then you know Hacker, that
you can meet Hacker, you can meet us. You know, please shake our hands first. And then you can go to him, okay?
Jackson's like, Dad, don't we have a baseball tournament that weekend? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, I think I'll probably want to go to baseball that Sunday instead of the game. I was like, hey, man, you can do whatever you want to do. You know, you'll have to ride with somebody else. Dad's probably going to the game. And he's like, he's like, okay, all right. I'm like, smart. You're smart. I should probably go with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a rough one. But so Del Reed, I'm going to see if Del wants to come on the next episode.
Is he coming down?
He is.
Nice.
So Del and I have been chatting. He has, I don't know if he's been to an away game as a Bills fan before.
Wow.
I'll let him tell the story next week if he comes on as to why he's coming down for this one. But yeah, Dell's a great guy. For those that don't know, Dell is one of the original founders of like what has become the Bills Mafia and all that. So he's become a friend over the years. I'm going to see if prior to him hopping on a flight and coming down, if he wants to come on and join us next week. I think we're trying to line up some good guests in the weeks coming up. We're kind of hitting some points ourselves where we're like, how much can we talk about how excited we are about Trevor Lawrence and nothing else?
Can we shit on Urban Meyer?
Even that's boring now. he's gotten boring on us. We need him to do something scandalous again. Help drive ratings. But yeah, so we'll see. I'm not looking forward to that Bills game. But maybe some cross fan base camaraderie, perhaps. But yeah, we got anything else, Sally? We gotta run through another sponsor or two, or what do we got?
Yes, we do. We have one last sponsor, and that is our friends at New Era Marketing. Obviously, we kind of have it seems like we have a decent amount of listeners that have their own business because they keep reaching out to advertise with us. These guys can help you advertise in a whole lot better way than we can. So check out their website. It's NewEra marketing.com. And they do, you know, all your digital marketing solutions. You know, things like have professional tweeters like Dillard, maybe not quite like Dillard, maybe a little more polished. Slightly.
I say fuck too much.
Build you the website, do the graphic design, all those types of things. So visit their website. It speaks for itself and it explains everything that they can do for you.
Yeah, we gotta check with Andy Willis and make sure that his company actually called those folks.
Yeah.
Andy, if you're listening, you gotta call the guys up at New Era.
People helping people. And plus they're a local company, so you know that. That's all we try to support.
And their team that we've interacted with on Twitter is super cool. Bunch of cool people. And
yeah,
that's about as good as it gets.
Absolutely.
All right.
I think that's it.
What are you doing for the game?
I don't know. We were just talking about that
before. Trick-or-treating?
Or you hopped on. We all got a trick-or-treat right after the damn game.
Right after, right during.
Yeah, I mean, legit.
I think we're going to get a projector, just put it on the side of the house, like, so we can chill in the driveway, go out with the kids for a little bit, just have the, you know, whoever wants to kind of cruise by can check out the game.
Yeah, that's a legit idea.
You know, one small issue with that is I haven't bought a projector yet. So yeah, that's
kind of tough. You want to do that.
I'm supposed to go to Atlanta tomorrow, you know. So, yeah.
Set up, so if you buy it on Amazon, it'll be at your house when you get back.
Probably. Yeah. Amazon's like the one reliable shipping still at this point. Like anything else, not so much.
Yeah, we call them the Amazon fairy because they always come through.
That's right. All right. So to recap, love you, Trevor Lawrence.
Love you, Jamal Agnew.
Kind of fun. Dilla turns 30 tomorrow, so be sure to send him some nudes. Sally and I are already old, so if you want to send us nudes too, that's cool.
Yeah.
And
I would look at them.
Yeah. I think I love you, JB.
I love you too, JB.
Love you, JB. See you tomorrow, bud.